For June 12th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Lullabot Podcast.
So, what, this is like episode number 15, and we're starting to look respectable.
Wow. We're in our teenage years now.
Yes, 15 podcasts. That's right, folks, and you've missed them all. I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with...
Matt Westgate.
And also...
Ted Serbinski.
Team Lullabot... Rocking the podcast, you know, talking about Drupal. Because, you know, it's Drupal and...
It kicks ass.
I guess it, you know...
Can we say that?
It's kind of kicking ass, yeah. I think we might have to change our iTunes tag from clean to, like, you know, mentions the word ass. I guess that doesn't work if you mention the swear words. It, like parental guidance. These swear words are mentioned. So what's going on in the world of Drupal? Well, first of all, let me just say that even if this part, if you find this part of the podcast to be boring or generally annoying, which is understandable, Gordon Hayden, we've got an interview with Gordon Hayden. He's
awesome.
He lives in Australia, so that's international. If 15 podcasts doesn't do it for us, international interviews. Trying to gain some respect. What's going
Gordon's
on?
Gordon's been with Drupal for a long time.
He has longer than me.
Yeah.
What's going on with what's going on with you guys? What's going on with Drupal? What's going on in the world?
So. Just released as of 2 a.m. last night, AskANinja.com has just moved over to Drupal. The guys at Rain City Studios, Boris and Steve, they did a really awesome job. Kick ass, I might say.
You know, if we're gonna say it, let's just use it as much as possible, definitely.
Yeah.
The kick ass Lullabot. Podcast, yeah. Ask a Ninja, that's awesome. That's a hugely popular video cast, right?
Yeah, it's a really funny show. They put it out, I don't know, every couple of days or something. It's awesome. The site looks really good. It doesn't really look like a Drupal site at all.
Yeah, askaninja.com. Yeah, it's nice. It's subtle. It's Drupal. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful site. Rain City Studios. Good work. Right on. What else? I was on somebody else's podcast.
Ooh.
I was on a podcast that was not my own. I didn't have to edit it, which meant that I had to be careful not to screw up. Because I couldn't go back and edit it and fix it and try and make myself sound smart. So, Creative Expert. CreativeExpert.com. You can find a link to that on the Lullabot site in the articles section. There's a link to it. But yeah, I talked to this guy Alan all about Drupal and Lullabot.
You do a great comparison of Ruby on Rails and Drupal too.
Do I?
It's worth listening to. Yeah.
I sound smart even without editing.
Well, he might have edited in. He might have dubbed it.
Okay. yeah, so that was fun. I also did the cat's out of the bag on that one. I did a couple of podcast interviews with other people, and I started talking about this thing that we haven't talked about on this podcast yet, which is the fact that we're doing a website for MTV.
Yes,
MTV UK. You don't know if you want it.
It kicks ass.
Let everybody know right off the bat. You know, kind of, you want to let it, you know, like you get a new girlfriend, you know, and you don't want to quite call her your new girlfriend yet, you know. stuff. So, but yeah, it's, we're talking about it. You know, we're engaged. MTV.co.uk as of a few months from now, all goes
maybe
well.
Sooner.
we'll be a Drupal site. It's really exciting, and we're really happy to be working on it, and it's going along really well, and we're really excited about it. So, and the new Twit site, Leo Laporte, This Week in Tech. He also does the screensavers and
call for help.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I think most of whenever Leo speaks, it goes out over a podcast. He has 18 different podcasts or something, and they're all at twit.tv, which is not currently – it is currently a Drupal site, but it's not currently the Lullabot version of the site. And so that'll be going live soon. And then we've got the training stuff coming up in August, and we're going to talk about the MTV site that we're working on and the Twit site and basically show people how we built them and how Drupal works, stuff like
yeah.
that. So
how to kick ass with Drupal.
Yes.
Behind the scenes look at MTV and Twit.
Kicking ass. and you can find all that at lullabot.com/training. And we've got $100 off for people that sign up before July 1st. So sign up now and regret it later. I don't know what that means. Kick ass! Kick ass!
Kick ass.
yeah, there you go. What else has been going on? We got like a six. Was there what are we up to now? 4.7.2? Did that happen? Did that happen without us mentioning
just
it?
Came out.
Was there a security hole or something?
Yeah, didn't we mention this last week? Or were we supposed to?
You know, maybe we did. I don't listen to these podcasts. I don't know.
4.7.2 just came out about 2 weeks ago, and it fixed two security vulnerabilities. So you should upgrade your site as soon as possible if you haven't already. If you go to Drupal.org, it's highlighted right there.
One of those were particularly nasty, too, dealing with uploaded files, right?
Yeah.
Something to do with bad extension names on the files, where something like a text file could be executed as a PHP script if it found PHP code inside the text file.
Right.
So basically arbitrary code execution. And it had to do with Apache's MIME type handling, which is particularly nasty. So Drupal had to patch itself for Apache. So hopefully that gets resolved down the road in a much cleaner way.
Pretty elegant patch. What it does is it creates a .htaccess file in the files folder. And any file in there, it tells Apache just run it through this made-up set handler, so it doesn't actually process it at all. It just spits it back out. So you could put PHP code in there, and it'll just output as text. So it was really cool, really simple. Good job, security team.
Right on. So there's been some excitement over on the security mailing list recently. Do you guys know anything about that? Is this something we want to talk about?
Oh, I think people are just trying to figure out what's the best security approach for Drupal to take. You know, should it provide all the sanitation in core by default, or should it be left up to the module developers to wrap all their code with security checks, or should it just work with the sanitized code as it comes down the pipe?
So what
I think that's the big thing.
What do you mean by sanitized code? So, like, in other words, should the Drupal core sort of somehow impose upon contributed modules an security? So basically a module is not able to do anything insecure. Is that
the big question is whether or not Drupal should manipulate users' data. Mm-hmm. When they submit a node entry, should it manipulate that and pull out possible cross-site security exploits or JavaScript code that's embedded, or should it just pass that raw user data onto the module to take care of the cleaning. The problem that we're finding is in the contributions repository, there's a lot of insecure code out there.
Right.
Whether it's somebody just not using the DB query sanitizer properly, or they're just not wrapping their outputted text in check markup or check plain to take care of those things. So what we're asking is, rather than relying on developers using the functions, because we all forget to do that at times, that Drupal takes care of that at the core level, and then that takes the burden off of contrib code and developers to implement it.
Right.
But it's really tricky, because then you're asking Drupal core to make decisions, right, to sanitize all code, and maybe you're trying to do something really cool and you don't want the code sanitized yet because there's really something in there that you need. So then what do you do in that case?
Huh. Interesting. That's it's wonderful to know that debate is going on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, again, it's the thing, like, you could write your own CMS, it's just a simple site kind of thing. I'll use PHP and write my own thing. And you don't even think about this stuff. And there's people arguing about it. You use Drupal, and the argument's already been at least debated, if not,
I'd like to see some sort of middle ground there where, we have this handy-dandy Forms API, and things passed through the Forms API are sanitized at the Drupal core level, but you always have access to the raw data in case you do need it. I think that'd be really handy for contrib developers. They could kind of get the best of both worlds that way.
Right. Huh. Yeah.
But that's still a very gross overview, and there's many, many details that I'm overlooking.
Hmm. Where do people go to get on the Drupal mailing lists?
Drupal.org/mailing lists, I say with so much confidence.
Yeah, I'm looking myself. No?
Yeah, actually, yep. Mailing dash list.
Oh.
Yeah, close.
Okay, so drupal.org/mailing-lists.
Lists.
Has the list of all of the Drupal mailing lists, and you can get on. Wow, there's a mailing list I didn't even know about. You kind of get on your mailing lists and then you read them or you ignore them or whatever. But look at that. You can get on a list that gives you all of the CVS commit messages. That's heavy duty.
It's heavy duty on your inbox.
Yeah, that's
what I'm
saying.
Yeah, I'm on that list. It's about a couple hundred a day.
That's pretty wild. Huh, cool. Right on. Great. And Lullabot has a mailing list. We have a mailing list now. If you go to lullabot.com, it's right on the homepage there. And you can get announcements about Lullabot stuff and new posts on the Lullabot site and all that kind of stuff right in your inbox. So, well, let's move on to the interview with Gordon Hayden. Gordon lives in Australia. And he recently took over the e-commerce package from our good friend, Matt Westgate. Matt, you want to talk about that transition and sort of the how and why and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. What can I say? Money talks, No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it was. There's a couple. No, it wasn't. I was just, the Forms API hit, right? And that just really dampened my spirits, because it was a lot of code to rewrite. The e-commerce package was 10 modules, 15 modules.
And, kinda, it's up to like 30 something modules.
Jeez,
now.
That's awesome. So what it was really for me was just time restrictions. I was working on a lot of other projects and I wasn't doing a good job being the leader in the e-commerce package world. Lots of people wanted things to happen, mailing lists, the e-commerce having its own site and stuff like that. And I just didn't have the time commitment that it took to pull that off. So Gordon was one of those people that had been asking me, about the e-commerce package and submitting a lot of bug fixes and things like that. So I asked him if he wanted to be the maintainer, and it it worked really well for him because he was right in the process of quitting his day job and becoming a full-time Drupal developer. So he thought the e-commerce package would be right in line with what he wanted to do in the Drupal world. And I might add that he is doing an incredible job. He's got people harnessed together, working in harmony on the e-commerce package. And it's just really great to see it take off the way that it is.
Yeah, yeah, it seems like he's really got it going. So, well, let's check out this interview and check out the e-commerce package and all the other stuff that Gordon Hayden is working on. Here it is. Gordon Hayden, where are you from? Where do you live exactly?
Well, currently I'm living in Melbourne in Australia. I'm actually an expat Kiwi, so moved across the Tasman about 10 years ago. So, I'm from the land down under.
Right on. And you've been doing Drupal for a while now? How long have you been involved with Drupal, and how did you get into it?
Well, I've been working with Drupal probably for the last 4 years. Since before they added the member since on the user pages, one of the members that's got 5 years on it, and I got into it as I was needing a website for where I was working, needed something that was a bit easier to maintain, and I looked at Drupal and started looking at the programming APIs and thought, oh, I like this, so. And it just progressed from there with a few contributions, like some bug fixes for FileStore, which then I took over being the maintainer of. Then I created the module HTML area and created the first WYSIWYG editor for Drupal.
Oh, nice.
So the form, the hook text area was my fault.
Uh-huh.
As well as a few other small contributions to core. Then I wrote a few other bits and pieces and that. And then was it last December I got asked if I wanted to take over e-commerce, and I've sort of been working on that for the last nearly 6 months now.
Cool.
I had done work on that beforehand, put in some patches, a couple of implementations for clients, and that was also about the same time that I resigned from my previous job to become a full-time Drupal consultant.
How's that going?
It's going good. Very busy, as you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I imagine that being the e-commerce maintainer, there's a lot of work out there for that, definitely.
E-commerce seems to be one of the more popular applications. I think it's on the top 10 list most of the time for downloads. So I haven't checked recently, but now that we got the new release out. It'll really start to jump as people start converting their sites to Drupal 4.7.
Cool. So you actually went through and you sort of headed up the effort to convert e-commerce from 4.6 to 4.7. For people that don't know and haven't used the Drupal e-commerce package before, it was actually written originally by Matt Westgate, it's pretty huge. It consists of how many modules now? Probably like...
I think it's about 35 modules.
Oh, my God. Really? And it's basically a whole, as big as Drupal is, again, on top of Drupal, right? I mean, it sort of redefines a lot of the Drupal APIs as sort of product APIs and that kind of thing. So it's a huge thing. And I think, to be honest, I think when Matt looked at it and thought about, you know, continuing work on it and converting it to 4.7 and all that kind of stuff. I think he was a little bit overwhelmed by it and ready to hand it off to someone else. And you were generous enough to take on that task. So that's impressive. So how's that? How has that gone? The converting to 4.7 and how has it changed? What are the new things that? Where's that project at? You know.
Well, the actual conversion to the Forms API and that was a task in, under itself. It was a big job, but it's given us a new. It's probably one of the biggest things to impact on e-commerce, and it's made things a lot better, especially in, as you know, for theming. Theming forms with the Forms API, it just gives you unlimited ways of doing things. It's really quite amazing. And with that being implemented into e-commerce, and that you can make e-commerce look any way that you want. So it's really given a lot of flexibility in being able to brand your store and sort of like put your presence on the internet as being like being an up and coming Amazon or something like that. So
cool.
So it enables you to really make it your own. So which is one of the things that in 4.6 you could theme to a certain extent, but it was difficult and. But now you can do some, make it look really good and really make your customers feel like they're dealing with you and not Drupal, so which makes things really good.
Very cool.
But beyond that, we've also been working hard on trying to update and make things better in that. Like we've actually increased the number of payment gateways, so. There's a number of additional payment gateways now. Plus, we've tried to clean up a lot of the internal code and make it so that if you want to do something different, you can make it work a lot better. Probably one of the things that a lot of people always asked for was being able to change the address book. The address book now is not required in that. In fact, we've actually gone as far as developing a plugin. A new address book for e-commerce, which links you into the Civic CRM module.
When people make e-commerce purchases, they would automatically become a contact in your CRM.
Yeah,
would it work that way too? Yeah.
Yep. So, and also, you can actually anyone who's a part of the part of your current contact database. You can use those to send transactions to or products to. So really some good improvements there.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. So,
Go ahead.
Yeah. Also transformations of, products of normal content into a product has just been enhanced and made a lot easier. Which has actually been made a lot easier by the Forms API. Trying to do it with the old 4.6 method of doing forms would just have been a total nightmare. But we've managed to get that in, and it looks really great. So you can take any product you like and convert it into or any piece of content that you have on your site and convert it into a sellable product.
Cool. So let's step back for a sec and talk a little bit about the e-commerce package and sort of what it does and what it can do and a little bit about how it does it for a site. So if someone has a website and they wanted to start selling things on their site, sort of how does the e-commerce package work and like what would they do to start selling things on their site?
Well, effectively, e-commerce gives you, in its real basic terms, it gives you a cart that customers can come, choose their products, put them in the cart, and then they can proceed through the selling, the checkout process, and onto the payment process. So as a new user, especially with things you would install e-commerce onto your Drupal 4.7 site, and then you would start creating your products. Now, you can either take existing content on your site and turn them into sellable products, or you can just create products right from scratch. When your users come to the site, they can go and find the product and say, okay, I want to buy this product. There's a link on the bottom of the piece of content that says add this to your cart. You'll add this to your cart, and then you can proceed through the checkout where you will, you'll put in your address. You'll say, okay, I want to pay it by credit card. I want to pay it by PayPal. And then you'll go on to say, well, this is how you want to ship it. So we've actually enhanced shipping, so you can have multiple shipping, multiple carriers, depending on product types and things like that. It'll even communicate with companies like UPS and get an estimate or a price to freight the product to you. So once you get to the final screen, you've got an overview of exactly what you're purchasing, what charges you're going to incur for the purchase. You'll hit OK, purchase product, and it will take you off to a payment screen where you can enter in your credit card, or if you've got a PayPal account and the site accepts PayPal, they will send you off to PayPal to pay for the purchase, and then it will start through the workflow to start sending the product to the customer.
Wow. So. And it also keeps track of things like inventory, right? I mean, you know, once the person has paid with PayPal, it'll ping back the site and keep track of inventory.
Yeah. Well, if you're selling physical products, you can track your inventory. So you have like 30 or 40 T-shirts that you're selling on the site. You can then turn around and say it will mark those as take them off the quantity as you sell them. So once the person makes the payment, it'll go through and say, okay, we've just sold 3 T-shirts and minus off the price. And yeah, and then when you start getting down too low, it'll stop selling them.
Wow.
So if you run out of T-shirts to sell, this is also like if you're selling training too, you can actually keep track of training places in your spots that you've sold in a training course. So if you've got 20 spots open, as soon as 20 spots have been sold, the training will be closed.
Right. Cool stuff. And so now it also does things like sub-products, right, which would be like maybe T-shirt sizes? Is that sub-products?
Yep. With the work that we did with GoodStorm, which is probably the biggest Drupal e-commerce site out there, we created what's known as sub-products. So you can say, okay, well, I'm selling a T-shirt. I have large, extra large, small, medium. And then you can say, well, then, and they also come in colors X, Y, and Z. So the customer goes to make a purchase, they turn around and say, okay, well, I want an extra large T-shirt in blue.
Oh.
And put it to their cart. And then they can go back and say, okay, now I want a medium in white.
Right.
So they can choose all the different things and makes the user experience, well, the customer experience a lot better.
Cool. And it can also sell like things like file downloads, right? So if you were selling maybe PDF books or something like that, you could handle that with the e-commerce package?
Yep. Yep. You've got, you can set it up with PDFs. One of the new features that has just gone in the last few weeks is being able to turn a product from the audio module into a sellable product. So you can say, I've got an MP3 of whatever, and when you turn it into a product, the users can't download it unless they've purchased the track.
Wow.
Once they've purchased the track, it will then they can then go in and play it, download it. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's so great. I mean, that's what so many bands are looking for. I mean, there's some solutions out there already, but if somebody wanted to do their own kind of thing, that'd be that's it. That's There yeah. it is, downloadable pay music.
Mm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of – I'm looking through the list of all the different modules that are involved with the e-commerce package at this point. And so there's a tax module that handles taxes that – so you can
– Yeah.
Which is sort of a complicated thing.
Yeah, this is a complicated part of anything, because especially with tax being so different between different countries and things like that. This will do a basic tax for sales tax on your products and that, which sometimes you do need to do, especially places like Australia, New Zealand, the states, some places in the US require that shippable products incur a tax and things like that. So we can do all the basic taxes. And because of the developer APIs and the way that we've done them, if you need more complex ones or more complete tax implementations, we can create that very easily.
Cool. Cool stuff. And so... Yeah, so as more people are implementing e-commerce on their sites and finding other things that they'd like it to do, they can come to you or the other people out there that are doing the e-commerce development and talk to you yeah. about extending it, right? Yeah. I'm looking in the contrib directory of e-commerce, and there's a whole lot of extra stuff there. There's auction stuff. There's... authorize.net, there's a whole apparel module, it looks like.
Yep, that's what GoodStorm uses for selling their clothing, uh-huh. Apparel and stuff. It's the basis for the for selling different sizes with sub-products and things. So it makes it very it makes it very flexible.
Right. There's a donate module that looks like It allows people to create donation products, so products where yep. you can change the price on the fly. Is that what that would be? So like,
yep, yeah. So what you can do is like a lot of non-profit organizations, they'll sell products, but they'll also take donations. People will donate money to them as well. You couple the donation module with the Civic CRM and what will happen is that you can actually say, okay, I want to donate, make a purchase XYZ of all these different products, and I can also say, okay, I want to donate $20 as well. And then when you make your purchase and you've completed your purchase, when you go and look at this person as a contact in Civic CRM, you can actually see that they made donations in the user's activity.
Cool.
So a lot of like non-government organizations and non-profits are really interested in using and coupling e-commerce with Civic CRM.
Right. Yeah. Because, yeah, you can keep track of who has donated and follow up with them and try and get them to donate more and all those things that non-profit organizations do on a regular basis.
Mm.
That's very cool. How are people using the auction stuff? How are people using that?
Well, effectively, it's like creating your own mini eBay type thing. One of the future enhancements we'll probably be looking at being able to combine auctions with eBay, so you can run your auctions in both places, and it will. You can do it, but effectively you can have people bid on products. They just add the product to the cart, and they can then enter in the amount that they're wanting to bid for. Once they've finished, they'll say, okay, you've won the product, and you can then go and complete the purchase and make the payment on the site, and the product will get shipped to you.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's very good in that respect.
Man, there are so many modules in here. This is amazing. What is the recommend module?
This is a new development that's being done for one of the Civic Space companies. Effectively, it's like Amazon's recommend. You've brought this product, and other people have brought product X, Y, and Z. So you can recommend other products that the customer may be interested in as a method of enhancing your sales.
Wow!
So this is still under development, but we're hoping that we'll be able to have something going really well.
That's
and be quite impressive.
Amazon.com style stuff.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. Cool. I mean, it's great. I mean, this is all sort of kind of the realization of what can be done just sort of building on the Drupal API, you know, because this seems to sort of go off and kind of build a whole other thing that's a e-commerce stuff as opposed to content management stuff, which is sort of what Drupal usually sort of orbits around. This is sort of orbiting around e-commerce, and yet it still uses the Drupal API to build on it. It's really cool stuff.
Mm. Yeah, and because e-commerce is integrated directly into Drupal, it really matches in and fits in with your site without any hassles at all. So any of the really cool stuff that you can do with Drupal, you can most likely be able to do it with e-commerce. Take advantage of and extend it. It uses all the same methodologies for development. So if you want to extend, there's generally like Drupal, there's generally a way of doing it.
Right. So what are the things in e-commerce that are sort of interesting and exciting to you right now? What are the directions that it's heading in, and what are people using it for, and stuff like that? What are some interesting things that are happening with it?
Well, I've actually got some people that are looking at running e-commerce to run their entire back office. So all the things that an organization might, a small organization, are doing in their back office, like invoicing and tracking memberships and all these things, instead of handling them outside of your e-commerce site, they're going to be running everything within there. So they want to send suppliers, customers invoices that don't want to work on the web. They'll be able to do that. And chasing up. So, and then other areas that we're going to be working on is better integration with the Views module.
Mm-hmm.
Couple that with Views contrib module called Views Calc. We'll hopefully be able to create sales reports within Drupal.
Wow. So Views Calc does what? It sort of takes a list of you and allows you to do sort of summary kind of calculation stuff on...
Yeah,
add the
totals lines at the bottom of reports and things like that. So,
wow. So just to recap, Views module allows people to sort of list arbitrary lists of... nodes, right? Presumably nodes, yeah, but kind of anything. So, you know, it can be used to sort of replicate taxonomy listings, but maybe by node type or by user or sort of any criteria that you want. And so in this case, it could be by product information, and then have at the bottom some sort of summary kind of information where it adds it all up. Huh.
Yeah. So things like that there, you'll be able to create sales reports or things like that that at the moment is a little bit hard to do. There's basic reports in there, but you really need to start looking in behind the system if you want to get some real detailed reports, and this will enable people to build these reports up any way they want, because even though the Views UI is a little bit daunting at times, but with a little bit of training, most people that understand accounting procedures and that could build up their own reports on the fly without any hassle at all.
Wow.
So,
that's fascinating. Yeah, because... Right. I mean, Views module is basically just sort of a graphic interface for getting stuff out of the database. It's sort of a database query engine. And really, all of those reports are just that, are just sort of trying to format the queries, but it's sort of hard to tell what information people are going to want beforehand. So, wow, cool. Mm. What a great integration that'll be, huh? Neat.
Yeah, no, that'll be good. Really good to do. So this is one of the things that's going to be happening in the next release. I'm hoping that a lot of this is, once it's done and tested, and that will be able to be backported to 4.7 without too much difficulty. At the moment, if any modifications are done that are good, and that we are backporting them to 4.7 and so keeping it 4.7 as cutting edge as possible and making it as good as possible into the future. So yeah.
Very cool. So are there other websites out there that are doing interesting things with e-commerce? You mentioned GoodStorm.
GoodStorm's probably the most interesting because not only are they're not just a single store, they are many stores. So if you have a design for a T-shirt and something like that, you can go to GoodStorm and start selling it, and they will. It's like running your own store without having to go through the hassle of setting up a complete your own website, your payment gateways, all that additional stuff. You can just concentrate on selling your products and creating your designs so you've got more products to sell.
That's right. I remember. So was this where they were integrating like organic groups along with e-commerce? So basically each group could have their own store. Is that correct?
Yeah. I haven't had much of a play with it, but from what I understand, that's what you can do. So, and I know that some of my clients are extremely interested in doing this type of thing,
right.
allowing their users or affiliates to sell their products through their website. So
cool.
Yeah, really interesting stuff.
Awesome. Well, that's great. That's really interesting stuff. So that's pretty much been taking up all of your time recently, as I can imagine, the e-commerce stuff. Have you found other things sort of falling by the wayside and e-commerce absorbing your life, or have you had any time for other Drupal things?
Yeah, e-commerce has been absorbing my life, especially over the last month. It's trying to get out the release. Final release and everything, make sure that we can get everything out there going in the best possible way. I know now I need to go back to a few of my older modules like FileStore and HTML Area and get them all cleaned up and ready for a 4.7 release and improve them, as well as a new module that I just wrote about a week ago. Called Secure Pages, mm-hmm. which allows you to say, specify, I want pages X, Y, and Z to be to only run through a HTTPS, so you can access them via encryption. So when you go to a page and it says, oops, this page needs to be accessed via encryption only through HTTPS, it'll change you to the HTTPS view, so automatically, and switch you backwards and forwards. So
that's especially handy for the e-commerce, like checkout, where people are gonna. Although it doesn't necessarily need to be secure, probably a lot of people who are visiting the site are gonna see e-commerce stuff on a page and expect to see the little lock on the page too, right? So
yeah. So also things like if you've got Civic CRM running, or your contact information, you probably want to be accessing that via an encrypted page. Like editing user details. Being able to edit them via content creation. When you're creating content for your website, if you've got the SSL certificate there or access to one, it means that you can do this through a secure channel, and you know that people aren't going to be listening in on to what you're doing and things like that.
Huh.
So your whole admin section of your website can be all encrypted, so you can only access it via encryption. So,
that's great. That's very
so, especially
cool.
if you're using e-commerce and you've got your SSL certificate, which those things generally aren't very cheap, especially for what they do. You look at some of them and they're very expensive. Being able to move it and use it in more areas of your website makes it more cost effective for you in the long run. If you're just using it for accepting payments, it's something that's very, very, that I feel is very costly. But if you can use it in other parts of your websites and things like that, I initially developed this for a customer who were doing entries into an event over in Western Australia, and people were saying, well, when we're entering our details for the event, we want to make sure that we're going through an encrypted page. So that's how it came about.
Cool. That's really handy. That's one of those things that once you start using it, you kind of get addicted to it. I mean, I think of all the years that I was just using FTP for uploading things to my sites, and then I started using SFTP and started feeling like a lot more secure, I guess. After all, that's what the S in SFTP stands for. But so it's just one of those things. It's nice to know nobody's snooping on your stuff as you're accessing the root login on your server, or accessing the admin section of your Drupal site. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, because that's always fun, and especially with e-commerce, when you're dealing with people's money and things like that, you really want to make sure that no unauthorized access happens and stuff like that. So
now, how is that working? Are people's credit cards stored on the Drupal server, or how is that currently being handled for most of those payments?
Well, with payment gateways like PayPal, which they classify as a hosted payment page, you get redirected to PayPal's website to do to enter your credit card information or your PayPal account in that case. Other ones like authorized.net, or there's one down here, a couple in Australia called C-Card and eWay. What happens is that we accept the payment, but we actually then communicate directly the credit card with the credit card processing company, and we receive an immediate response back. So we don't even store the credit card number in the database or anything. It's just passed through, and then it's completely discarded. So we actually, other than doing some quick checks to make sure that the credit card you entered is a valid credit card, Drupal does nothing with credit cards at all.
So you don't have to worry about your, even if your site gets hacked, all that they could find is maybe how many t-shirts people had bought, but they won't get their credit card numbers because you're not storing them. Great.
No, they aren't stored, and it would be nice to be able to do something like what Amazon does, where they say, you go back and you say, I'm making my second purchase. Do you want to use credit card ending in the digits 1, 2, 3, 4?
Right.
But that requires storing, which is a whole new level of security that needs to be implemented and things like that. And generally, something like that would just be way out of the price range of the majority of people that would be wanting to use e-commerce.
Right. It would be possible, and if someone wants to write it in a way that's going to be secure, we would welcome it. I don't know if anyone wants to take that liability. I was on a trip for a couple of weeks, and I got home to find a letter from my gym that their computers had gotten stolen. and everyone's credit card information along with their home address and all sorts of personal information along like that had gone out with the computers, and so they were encouraging us to contact our credit card companies and file a fraud report and all this kind of stuff. So that's no fun. I wish that they weren't storing my credit card information. No fun.
That's always no fun. But if someone were to work on something like that, it would go under an extreme amount of scrutiny before it got accepted as part of e-commerce. So they would it'd have to be absolutely zero chance of people being able to get credit card numbers. Generally, what I suspect happens with places like Amazon is they actually have a system which is in a completely secure environment that nobody from the internet can directly access, and they query that system to do the purchases and things like that. So,
guard dogs boa constrictors, all kinds of things that make that more secure.
Yeah, all the fun stuff to make that, which is generally out of the range of most small businesses. So.
Right, certainly. Well, very cool stuff. That's great. And so is you were talking about like a 4.7 release? Like, are you feeling like that the 4.7 e-commerce is all branched and tagged, or however that works with CVS, and kind of tested out and ready to go?
Yep, 4.7 is out the door. It is we're about to put the announcement up onto Drupal.org, so that'll most likely be on the front page within the next, or by the time this comes out, it'll be on the front page of Drupal.org. Saying that yes, e-commerce for Drupal 4.7 is available and ready to go and make everyone's life very easy.
Awesome. That is so exciting. Well, that's really great. Well, that's so great. Well, thank you, Gordon. I appreciate all the work that you've done on the e-commerce stuff, and thanks for talking with us as well.
Yeah, not a problem. It's been my pleasure.
Super. Well, Gordon Hayden, take care and thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, see you later.